often God uses Old Testament lessons. We are on the part of allegorically from a spiritual standpoint. To teach a New Testament truth. I don't think this is a type. I could be wrong. But as in Paul here in Galatians, the 4th chapter. Let's turn there. Galatians 4. Starting in verse 22. Okay. He talks about this story. It's in verse 24. He uses the word, or the Holy Spirit uses the word, the translators use the word from the word, allegory, or allegorically. Okay? It means a picture or a figure or a story that can be interpreted to reveal or teach a lesson or a truth. It can have a, first is a hidden meaning, and then it tells a truth. Okay? You know, a metaphor compares. An analogy is, this is like that. A type is, this thing represents that thing. For instance, a type in the Old Testament of the Passover is Christ on the cross. So, you know, but this is an allegory. It's a symbol. I don't know, you know, exactly where it fits in those words, but we can learn the lesson. So many people would just say, okay, it's a type and run with it, you know, but I'm not smart enough to do that, or I don't know enough about that. Anyone have any thoughts on whether it's just a what God had in mind and Paul is using this, or if it was a type? Anyone do any further study on that?
I remember one time in class at your house, Molly telling class that you have to be very careful with types. A lot of times you're giving it a meaning it doesn't have. So
exactly. And this being an allegory, which is just and to teach a truth, okay? It's the truth nonetheless. Whether back in Genesis, God had in mind going forward to this, of course he knew, but to have it a type, I don't know. But let's just learn the truth that's taught here, because it's talking about these very people. To the descendants of Abraham. And hopefully we can learn something. So, we're not going to read the whole section here, because we're going to read intermittently in there and everything. I hope that the A, B, C, D, E things that I gave you will help us to understand it. The son of the bondwoman, who was Hagar in the story in Genesis and also in Galatians, was born according to the flesh. Okay. And we learned that back in Genesis. Okay. The son of the free woman, who was Sarah, was born through the
promise.
Thank you. Okay. And there in Galatians 3:18, since you answered that, let's see. Would you like to read that? Galatians 3:18.
For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted to Abraham by the means of
that granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Okay, so the son of the free one was born through the promise according to the... What did y'all put down?
Spirit,
verse 29. 429 goes down and says, but at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him, was born according to the spirit. So it is now also. What do you think that means, according to the Spirit?
According to what the Spirit had revealed.
What the Spirit had revealed. Of course, the Holy Spirit, God's kindness to Sarah, you know, she was beyond years of bearing children. And it was miraculous, so to speak. But it was still, he was still Abraham's seed. It was not like Mary, the mother of Jesus, but born according to men. And so, but this was according to the promise. So that means the promise that was made to Sarah and Abraham fulfilled. The Spirit, I think it's good to mention Steve's lesson, you know, that the Spirit is a being, God, and he has power and he has influence, and you know, he was active in this, and his word was active in this, and it come to pass. And so according to the Spirit, from God's viewpoint, what did the slave Hagar represent? See,
represented Mount Sinai in Arabia, and it corresponds to Jerusalem.
Okay. The Old Covenant, it's the whole. It's not just a mountain that Moses got the law on. It's the whole thing. It's the law of Moses. It's the worship. It's the temple. It's Jerusalem, the seat of Judaism, where God's people were told to come and worship. It's that whole idea that was the slave Hagar in this lesson.
I also had bothered just the own law, because that was the problem with Judaizers.
Exactly. And, you know, they were slaves to the law. And that you can read in Romans, you can read it in Galatians. What's the problem here in Galatia that Paul is having to even address this?
The Judaizers are teaching that you need to keep the old law.
Well, and the brethren were in peril of going back to following the law, you know, because of those influences and everything. But they were, you know, he's trying to keep them from falling back to the following the old law. They have been freed from the law. They're in Christ, but they're trying to go back under the law. And the Judaizing teachers are trying to get them to do that. Okay, so Paul is in this discourse trying to teach them the truth about the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Therefore,
what they never understood was, without Christ coming and dying, there was no forgiveness of sin. Under the old law, the only way those people's sins were, they were forgiven if they followed God, but the only way that they were going to receive that forgiveness was through Christ shedding his blood. And so I think that's why they were slaves. Without,
yes,
there was no forgiveness without the second covenant.
Exactly.
Without Christ coming and establishing his kingdom.
Exactly. And that, what did the free woman represent then? What did Sarah represent?
Us.
The law of Christ. The law of Christ. Setting us free from sin. Setting us free from the old law. And it was the free Jerusalem above. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 22. Would you like to read that, Melissa? Let's go up a couple of verses and start down.
Hebrews
12 what? Go up to, say, 21 and start.
And it goes to where?
41.
Where do you want me to go?
Oh, just 22.
Okay. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the myriads of angels.
Okay. So, you know, we have the, remember the picture of Mount Sinai? The trumpets and the smoke and the thunder and the lightning. And, you know, God has come down on the mountain. Well, you know, and if they touched it, they would die. Even if the animal touched it, they would die. Well, this is the picture of the old law of God there among them. And now, but you've come to the Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, you know, not this physical mountain that you can touch and be killed, but you've come to the actual place where God is and his kingdom. And are we there literally? No. But it's a spiritual kingdom. And we're there spiritually. And so it's the Jerusalem above. It's the promise of the Messiah coming, the King coming, his reign that we read all through the Old Testament. Every prophet talked about it. Moses looked to it. Abraham looked to it. And so this is what has come. This is the free woman. This is not the slave woman. And so, we have those born according to the flesh were the Jews under the old law. And in verse 29, Pat, would you read that again?
Verse 29
mm-hmm.
of what?
Galatians 4, excuse me. We're back in Galatians.
But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it is now also.
Okay. Now in our story, we did have Ishmael persecuting Isaac when he was weaned, and that was the reason why they got thrown out of the house and away from Isaac. But this is not, Paul's not talking about Ishmael and Isaac here. What do you think he's talking about?
Talking about the difference in the Old and the New Covenant.
Exactly.
People that were under the Old Covenant are still persecuting at this time in Galatians the people who are striving to live under the New Covenant.
Exactly. I mean, it started with the apostles. It started with Jesus. They crucified him. Then the apostles. Paul. The Galatians. The First Peter is a whole book about suffering for the cause of Christ. And so he's taught that now also, the Jews were persecuting the Christians under the new law. Now, let's look at First Peter 4. Let's go over to First Peter 4, just for one reading. In First Peter 4. Here we have Christ suffering in the flesh. Arm yourselves with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Okay? Now, live your life no longer in the flesh, but in the lust of men, but for the will of God. Okay, now we go on down, and in verse 12 it starts, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you're reviled," so forth and so on. And over in chapter 5, okay, in verse 12 of 1 Peter, okay, it says to stand firm. So this suffering that Christians have, it's not the it goes from the Jews from the beginning and now even into our time, although Galatians is talking about their time, the suffering from the Jews keeping the old law, trying to get them to go under back under slavery. But today in our society, let us remember, Satan is out there trying to get us away from the law of Christ, just as using any means he needs to make us suffer and to not stand firm, to go back into sin, to doubt, to not be strong in faith, just like Paul is warning these Galatians here in Galatians 4. Any thoughts about that section right there? Okay, verse 30 of Galatians 4. Sandra, you want to read that? Galatians?
"Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast down the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman."
Okay. What's he quoting here? Paul is quoting scripture. Where is it from?
Genesis.
It's Genesis 21. It's from the story of Sarah and Hagar. It is from that, cast out the woman. And God said, listen to Sarah. Abraham, do it. So, cast out. But in this truth that Paul is teaching, because the bondwoman is the old law, the free woman is the new law, cast it out, because the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir. So, what's the truth? You live under the law. You maintain the law. Without Christ, you cannot be heir to the promises of God. Without the new law, without the law of Christ, without the gospel, without adhering to that, following that, embracing that, they cannot be an heir with the son of the free woman. Okay, so who are the true heirs according to the promise? Let's read Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Elizabeth, did you read that? I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Susan? 4 through 7. Galatians 4.
"But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God.
Okay, Susan, read verse 28 and 31, excuse me, of Galatians 4, 28 and 31.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. 31.
Mm-hmm.
So then, brethren, we are not children of promise.
I'm sorry, it's supposed to be on silence. It didn't work. Okay, go ahead. It's my daughter. Okay, so then, verse 31 again.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Okay, so, who are the true heirs according to the promise?
The ones who follow Christ.
In Galatians, he starts out to the saints, the brethren, and then those who follow Christ are the children of promise. That includes you and me. It included the Galatians. This is the truth they needed to know. And Paul used the slave woman and the free woman to show they were no longer slaves, but now they're free in Christ Jesus under his law, under his rule. The worship is no longer in the temple, but it is through the throne of God in a spiritual kingdom under the kingship of Christ. So, the truth we can gain from that. How kind Christ Jesus, the Holy and God and the Holy Spirit was to see that plight, to open the eyes of good men to the gospel, for them to obey it and be freed from the law and from the guilt of sin. So we can take comfort. We don't have to be afraid. We can have comfort that in Christ we are heirs to the promise. So, I was going to talk about what Jesus' teaching is on slavery and masters, because in our story, God tells Hagar to go back and to obey Sarah, even though Sarah was being harsh to her. I don't know how long Sarah was harsh to her. But then we see Sarah being harsh. Christ also teaches masters how to treat slaves, and especially those who are the household of God. We have studied that before, so we won't take the time. But I did make some notes about that. But just as a side note, you know, and even under the old law, there were rules about slaves and bond people and that kind of thing. But they were different than what is under the law of Christ. And so, that said. So, lastly, what did you learn from the story of Hagar and Sarah and God's dealing in their lives? What did you learn? Somebody tell us something?
Actions have consequences.
My number one, though, was, and which leads to, when you divert from God's way or God's plan, it always brings consequences. Physically, spiritually, one, the other, both, always. So when God has a plan for something, whether it's in the home, whether it's to become a Christian, whether it's to treat how to treat our neighbor, how to raise our children. God has a plan. The great kindness of God is that He revealed His plan, not only for salvation, but how to live, how to be a child of His, how to love like Him. We divert from that. We suffer consequences. Okay? While reaping those consequences, what did Sarah do to Abraham? She blamed him. It's all your fault, Abraham. I'm in this fix. She's pregnant. I gave her to, don't matter that I gave her to you to have my child for me. But she's fussing at him. Don't we do that sometimes when we find ourselves in a bad situation? We tend to turn to others and blame them instead of looking in the mirror. It was Sarah's fault. And it was Abraham's fault for listening to her. Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, one other thing, lesson learned. God, we need to trust God. He makes promises, and He's going to keep those promises.
That's exactly right.
His timeline is not our timeline. And so, sometimes it's hard. You know, God seems to make promises, and our life is hard, and we pray for our children, and they don't always do what we want. And we all also impose our will above His, as she did, and try to find a way around rather than just simply obey no matter what the consequences.
It was 14 years from Genesis 12 and 17. To Genesis 21, when she's had him, and then she's weaned him. It's two or three more years. You know, it's been a long time since Abraham left his country. And he hadn't seen a promise yet, except God's with him. God's taking care of him. He sort of forgot that for a little bit. But, you know, sometimes, like Pat said, it takes us to have trust and patience. We are not a people of patience. We're very impatient, you know. And in fact, a lot of time, one of my favorite passages in some of the Psalms is wait on the Lord. You know, a number of the people in the Old Testament had to learn that lesson. Wait on the Lord, you know. They're seeing horrible things out there happening. But I will wait on the Lord. And so we need to learn to wait on the Lord sometimes. Even if to answer prayer, say. You know. Or to, in any of our lives, decision making, that kind of thing. Just wait on the Lord. And what about His second coming? What about the Christ coming back? I hear people say, you know, I cannot sing, Lord, come quickly, because I've still got some people that I want to repent. But, you know, we have to, some people, because of their circumstance, because of their hurting, because of their anguish, they want the Lord to come now. But we all just have to wait patiently. He will come in His good time. But He is coming. Okay.
The thing we have to realize too is they have physical promises.
Yeah.
He promised him a son. So sometime in his lifetime, this was going to happen.
Yes.
We don't have. God promises to take care of us and provide for us, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be wealthy. That, you know, and those kind of things. Our promises that are made to us are spiritual.
Are spiritual.
And those we're not going to realize. Totally. I mean, living the Christian life is a great spiritual blessing because it does bring peace. It does bring contentment, no matter what your circumstances. But our greatest fulfillment we won't know until after we're already off of this earth.
That's true. And in the proper context, Romans 8, when it finishes, talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he's talking about persecutions and death and all those kind of horrible things over there in Romans 8 toward the end of the chapter. But none of those things. And Christians were experiencing those things. And by the way, they weren't being tormented because they weren't living right before God, as the friends of Job thought. They were living righteous lives, and they were being persecuted, and they were being living in caves, and they were being all those things that happen in Romans, in Romans 8 chapter. None of those things can separate you from the love of God. There's only one thing that separates you from the love of God, and that's turning your back on God. Another thing that I learned, and we should see in this, that God sees and cares. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are, or what circumstance you're in. God sees, God cares. In fact, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. He cares more about our spiritual well-being than anything else. I'm going to have to fix that. I am so sorry. It's supposed to be on silence. Okay. The other thing that we didn't talk about in your is your number four there after the heir is by faith Abraham obeyed God. He had to give up Ishmael. What a sacrifice. For 14 years, this had been his son. Until God comes back and says, it's going to be from the body of Sarah. And so, Abraham sends Ishmael away. God says, don't worry, Abraham. I'll take care of him. Just do it. Because there was a greater thing happening. It took a lot of faith on Abraham's part, didn't it? To trust and to let go. Everyone's read. Joanna, I'm sorry. You have not read, Joanne. Would you turn to Matthew 10? We're going to finish on this. 37, 38, and 39. Matthew 10.
He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it.
Okay. What's that tell us? What comfort can that give us?
God has to come first. If we put God first, that's no matter what we have to sacrifice. Because so many times, just like Abraham, the things we feel like we have to give up, Abraham brought this on himself by not trusting God in the first place. And that's what happens with us. And as far as if somebody, your father or your mother or whoever it is trying to get you not to serve God and do something different, they have to be not a part of your life.
And when choices come, according to that, in our lives, we can be a bunch of Sarahs. We can think up something. Steve talked about my brain just went blank. When you think of a circumstance, situation ethics. Sorry. Okay. Click. Okay. Situation ethics. We can fall into that trap so easily. and try to help God out. Or to say, well, God doesn't really expect me to do thus and so, when it's plain what he's asked us to do. But our fleshly, you know, self, that part of our brain just won't let us trust enough to do what he says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So, obedience comes with self-sacrifice. And Jesus talks about that, not only in Matthew 10, but other places. Self-sacrifice. Okay. And in times of trial, we need to remember that God's loving kindness and promises, and look to him for strength, because he keeps his promises. Any others that you have? I was hoping that we would get into